I requested this song tonight, and I appreciate it. They just sung it here 2 or 3 weeks ago, but you can sing it every time I come here, I'll tell you that. Every service. Couldn't make it without Jesus. We can't do it. Well, it is a privilege to be back here tonight, and I'm certainly glad that for the good report, Brother Jody. And, you know, trials, I told Brother Joe this week, the trials of our faith are more precious than gold that perisheth. So I thank God for every trial. I don't want another one now, but I thank God for every one I've had. Brother Seaman, you understand, I'm sure. And I want to thank the church. I've thanked you many times for all you've done for me down through the years. And thank you for what you're still doing for me. The church voted to pay my way to a mission field once every year, and just got back a couple of months ago and had a great time down there, and I've been writing something about it, so you'll hear about that for long. But I want to appreciate the church, and you've been good to me, better than I deserve anyway, but I want to thank you for it. Now I didn't know I was supposed to preach about 3 or 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I was just on my way back from driving up to what's the name of the town up there? Stanton. They called it Stanton. And I took my grandson up there. They had taken him up to the Lorries for a week. He's on spring break. And then coming back, I found out. And I just said, well, Brother Gary, I'll have to pull something out. But they've heard everything I've got anyway. It doesn't matter. It's a rerun for me. And Brother Gary said he's going to be the same for him. But Brother Gary called me, the Lord laid this sermon on my heart. You've heard it before. But I come back and I start going through sermons, and the Lord never would let me get away from this one. I want to preach tonight. So I'm going to preach on where is the Lord God of Elijah? Turn to 2 Kings, if you will. 2 Kings, page 422 in the Old Schofield Reference Bible. I get a blessing out of just saying that. And if you listening in, you've got another version, I hope you get a blessing out of it too. Let's 2 Kings 2, let's start reading about verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here for the Lord. It's in there. Just keep looking, folks. Now, where was I before all of us? It's good to hear the pages turn, though. But just find it pretty quick. Where did I start reading? Verse 6, did I say? Okay, here we go again. I'm going to try it again now. Has everybody found it? And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. You say, preacher, you believe that? Well, I certainly do. I believe the Bible. I don't understand it, but if you bring God into the mix, you can believe anything in the Bible, can't you? Take him out, and then there's some questions. Okay, settle that. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I like to sing that now. Our day, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this privilege of opening the Word of God again to this tremendous passage. Lord, I want to be a blessing to the people, and I want to lift up Jesus. And Lord, just help. May the Holy Spirit anoint me and anoint these dear people. Give us ears and hearts to receive the Word of God tonight. And Lord, help us to answer this question in our own heart. Just where is the Lord God of Elijah? And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and get glory out of this service. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this is one of the most interesting and exciting chapters in the Word of God as far as I'm concerned. In verse 2, time had come for Elijah to be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. And he told his assistant pastor Elijah, he said, "You stay here. The Lord wants me to go to Bethel." And Elijah said, "I believe that I'll just go with you." And then in verse 4, at Bethel, Elijah said again, "You wait here, and the Lord wants me to go down to Jericho." And Elisha said, "I believe I'll just tag along." Now I'm adding to it. That's not, you won't find that. You'll find this, what I'm giving you in the Textus Receptus, but not the King James. Then at Jericho, Elijah said in verse 6, a third time, "You wait here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan." At a third time, Elijah said, "If you don't mind, I'll just believe I'll go with you." And when they got to the Jordan, you know the story. The 50 members of the ministerial association were watching. And Elijah whacked the waters. And Elijah and Elisha walked over on dry ground. And then Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do unto thee." And Elisha said, "Without hesitation, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." He said, "Now, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me," I've already emphasized, "if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so. And if not, it shall not be so." And all of a sudden, the chariot and horses of fire swooped down from heaven. And Elijah was caught up to heaven in a whirlwind. And verse 12 says, Elisha saw it. He saw it and he got it. He saw it and he got a double portion of Elijah's spirit, the Spirit of God. Elijah, he kept his eyes on Elijah. Now there's a real message right there. We could preach a whole sermon on it. And tonight, folks, as we go down through life, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And not be weighted down with the cares of life. Just keep our eyes on Jesus. If we're his children, he'll see us through. Then Elisha, then after the chariot swooped down and took Elijah out of the way, he tore his outer garments and picked up Elijah's mantle and walked to the banks of the Jordan and whacked the waters and asked this question, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters opened right up, and the 50 members of the ministerial association or assassination, whatever it was, said, my, we got rid of some fundamental Baptists, and now we got another one on our hand. And for our consideration this evening, I want us to think for a few minutes on this very familiar question couched right in the middle of verse 14. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Now, as I've said, you've heard this message before. You've heard a lot of songs we sing. I listen to that song all the time there that the quartet sang. And they told us in seminary, if a sermon's not worth preaching twice, it's not worth preaching the first time. And I've preached a lot of them just the first time, and I put them back and never preached them again. But this is what the Lord wants me to preach tonight. You've heard the illustrations, you've heard the sermon, but it's what God wants me to preach tonight. First of all, three things about this question. First, it's a vital question. One of the most vital questions you'll ever face. You don't know, folks, when you're going to need the Lord God of Elijah. You just don't know it. And one of the few things certain about life is that it's uncertain. And the reasons it's a vital question, first of all, is the uncertainty of health. You may be in good health right now, taking vitamins. Sister Lashley has me a handful of Shackleys I take every day. It's good to have her back, isn't it? I'm telling you. But I thought I was going to lose my wife there for a while, but the Lord brought her through. Thank the Lord. And you may have a proper diet. You may be on an exercise program. You may be watching your weight. But right now in your body, there may be a disease germ incubating right now that will rob you of your health and maybe even of your life. And we know we're not going to have, I thank God for the good health he's given me down through the years. I rarely missed a Sunday preaching because of bad health. But you know what's going to keep your good health forever? And when they wheel you into an operating room, it's certainly good to know the Lord God of Elijah. I've been wheeled in 2 or 3 times recently to the operating room, and it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah at a time like that. And it's a vital question because of uncertainty of friends. A great preacher heard him say one time, he said, you're lucky if you have that many friends. And he dropped one hand and said, you're very fortunate if you have that many real friends that will stick with you through thick and thin. And there'll come a time when you think everybody's given up on you. Everybody, all your friends have betrayed you. And in the hour of betrayal, it's good to know the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Then there's the uncertainty of possessions. You may have a good job, a good car, a fine home, and be secure today, and you could lose it all, folks, in 24 hours. You can do it. And, you know, I saw the other day, I don't know if it's true or not, there is estimated 100 million people in America are out of work, either out of work or just working part-time jobs, can't find a full-time job. And people are losing their jobs every day. And people, you hear of homes like over we saw in that avalanche that came in and destroyed that fine home out there. And folks, things are... There's the uncertainty of possessions that we have. The rich fool said, "So he said, soul, he said, we're smarter than those other guys. We've outmaneuvered them in the business deals. Our fields have brought forth plentifully." He said, "Soul, just let's sit back and take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry." You know what God said? "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Job lost everything in just a few hours. You might say, Brother Lashley, I'm getting along pretty good and not having any trouble. It reminds me of the man who jumped off of a 10-story building, and as he passed the third story, a man stuck his head out and said, "So far, so good." And in times of reversal, and they're going to come, it's good to know the Lord God of Elijah. And just a little decision, little profession won't do it. You need to be born again and know him personally. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then it's a vital question because the uncertainty of life. I remember one of our members that was sitting back there all the time, drove a truck up to into Virginia, pulled it into the terminal, went into the office, sat down on a sofa there, and dropped dead of a heart attack like that. And it shocked us all. There's a girl who worked in a bank in Kingsport, got sick and had a cerebral hemorrhage and died in just a few hours. Fundamental Baptist pastor, I've preached in his church down in Knoxville, had a son in college and was preparing for the mission field 3 days now. 3 days before graduation, his life was snuffed out in a tragic car accident. I was in Alaska one summer. After my junior year in college, up there as a student missionary, picked up the phone one day. My pastor at Oak Street Baptist Church said, "Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your daddy just got killed in a car wreck." And we never had a car in our family. Daddy never drove a car. I didn't think my daddy ever get killed in a car wreck. But the Bible says, Proverbs 27:1, Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. So it's a vital question because of the uncertainty of life. And then it's also a prayerful question. In reality, this question was, O God, who was with Elijah, be with me in the same way. This is really a prayer. And Elisha was a faithful servant of Elijah for many years. He saw Elijah do many things in the power of God, in the blessing of God. Now he was gone, and he needed this same God. And folks, listen, we need the same God today. We, in this age we live, you and I need God's help. We need Elijah's God in our homes, in our businesses, whatever we're doing for the Lord, in the Sunday school, the bus ministry, the choir. We need the power of the Lord God of Elijah in our life, or we'll never accomplish anything eternally. And this same God who answered Elijah's prayers must be with us if we get answers to prayer. James 5, don't turn to it, I'll read it. James 5, 16 and 8 to 18 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I asked the quartet, Brother Garrett, to have the quartet sing because that song has a special meaning to me. Years ago, all 5 or 10 years before I knew that my time was just about through here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, so I thought, Lord, I'd like to see a real revival come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I hadn't seen a real revival since I was back home as a boy. And it's a revival, and folks, that's the only answer to the problems of America. The Republicans are not the answer. The Democrats are not the answer. You can get rid of Obama, and that still won't be the answer. The answer is spiritual and moral. We need a Holy Ghost revival across this country. And America has had great revivals, and that's the reason we've been a great country, because it's based on the Word of God and the God of the Word. But anyway, I wanted to see a revival. I thought, well, if we have a revival, that we'll see the church filled. And by the way, when revival time comes, people flock in to get into it. Holy Ghost revival, I mean, people come to it. And I thought we'd see a lot of people saved in the altar filled, and anointed singing and anointed preaching. And I thought, Lord, could you send revival before I'm gone? Here's Pastor Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You know, he sent revival, but he sent it a different way. And I've told you this before. I picked the phone up one night, and the doctor said, Reverend Lassley, I hate to tell you, but the tests show that you have prostate cancer. And I tell you, when a doctor calls you up and tells you that, it's like an atomic bomb going off in your life. And I went over to McDonald's and read a newspaper and got a cup of coffee and bite to eat and come back and turned it over to the Lord. And the Lord gave me peace about it. I just had to turn it on. My wife, I don't think, went to sleep all night after that. But that was I wanted revival. And here's what happened. As I went into Holston Valley, the cancer center, every day, I went for 25 weeks, 25 days a week, and had 3 radiation treatments. And every day when I'd go by Eastman, Tennessee Eastman, and cross, 36 there, isn't it, and head toward the cancer center at Holston Valley, I turned the chuck wagon gang on. If you have any problem with that, that's your problem. I like the chuck wagon gang. And that song, I Have a Precious Friend, every day I turned it on. Just as I crossed 36 and headed to the cancer center, I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are I am safe, I know, for the Lord is there. And every day for 25 days, 5 days a week, the Holy Spirit met me. And I Brother Seaman, I had a Holy Ghost revival. I wanted to see a great revival here, but the Lord gave me a the greatest revival I ever been into my life was in that car going into the, listen, I didn't care what happened to them when they got into that hospital. The Holy Spirit filled that car. So, Quartet, you can see why I appreciate that. It's a blessing. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ. It's good to have a friend like Jesus. Thank God. And the Lord God of Elijah is still on the throne. He still hears and answers the prayers of his children, and he will hear your prayers if you're his children, one of his children. Then the same God, now, that's a blessing what I just said, but this might be a little challenge to you. But the same God who gave Elijah courage to stand true must help us to not compromise in this day of apostasy. Somebody say amen right there. Now, folks, things look bad in America. I mean, everywhere we turn, we're a socialist economy in America today. And it's going to get worse. And our churches are apostatizing. And it's hard to stir a revival with a stick in our churches across America. And our national debt, $14 trillion, and the projected indebtedness is $90 trillion. There's no way we're going to pay it off. There's no way we can do it. And they don't intend. They're increasing the debt again, the budget that's coming up now. And ungodliness and nudity, immorality and homosexuality and drunkenness, we're in bad shape today. But listen, it was not easy to stand true for Elijah to stand true in the days of wicked King Ahab, when it seemed like the whole nation had gone after Baal. But Elijah stood true and would not join the ecumenical movement and bow his knee to Baal. And we need to ask the Lord God of Elijah to give us a hide like a rhinoceros and a backbone like a cross tie, so we'll stand against sin and apostasy and unbelief in the days that lie ahead. Now, you're going to need him in the days that lie ahead. It's going to be that where the preachers can't even mention the gay marriage in the pulpit. You know what they'll do? They won't put you in jail. They'll just put a big fine on you and take your house. That's what they do. And it's coming. So you're going to have to, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have the Lord God of Elijah have us to stand. And I made up my mind a long time ago with God's help. I'm going to stand for this book and the God of this book. Harold Seidler one time was over in the chapel. He said, you can draw a line right down the middle of the road, and this is the wrong side, and this is the right side. And he said, you're going to find me on the right, smack dab in the middle of the right side every time. And folks, that's what we need to do as we go down through life. When we face issues, if it's wrong, we're going to go God's way, the right way. Now, you need to determine that. And you need the help of the Lord God of Elijah to give you strength to do that. And let me find out where I am on my sermon here now. Listen, another thing. We need the same God who provided for Elijah to help provide our needs. He told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, and he said the ravens will come in the morning, feed you, and come in the evening. And the mornings, the ravens came in and brought him ham biscuits from Hardee's. And the ravens came in the evening with fried chicken from Colonel Sanders. Now, you don't find that in the King James. You find that in the Textus Receptus, though, in the original. But the Lord God of Elijah is able, still, he is still able to meet our needs. And my wife don't want me to tell this anymore. I've told it so many times, but I'm going to tell it tonight, though. Because it'll encourage you, and it was a great encouragement to me 25, 30 years ago. A couple left our church. They went, moved to Kingsport and lived right close to where Brother Richard Ratliff pastored there. And they joined his church, which is right by the church. And I just happened to just go by and see them. And as I started to leave, she said, Preacher Lansley, would you pray? We've wanted to have a child for 10 years. And would you pray that the Lord would give us a child? Well, it sort of scared me to death. I don't believe at that time I'd ever had a lady ask me to pray that they'd have a baby. She'd have a baby. But I got down on my knees and I prayed, Lord, would you, you've opened the wombs of handmaidens of the Lord down through the years. And Lord, I ask you to open the womb of this dear lady and give her, this woman and her husband a baby. And you know what? In a few months, I got a call from the church here, the Bolston family went up there. And as I walked in, she looked up and smiled and said, Preacher, the Lord heard your prayer. And God's able. God's able to do it. And then a few years after that, I was in the Indian Path Hospital. I hadn't seen her in years. And she walked down and said, walked down the aisle there at the hospital and hall. And she said, saw me, and she said, Preacher, you remember that baby you prayed for? He got saved and got baptized last Sunday night out here at the church. And then she died right before I retired. And her husband came. The boy's about 25 or something, sat right over in there with this woman's husband. He was a fine young man, had a business suit on, a Christian businessman in Johnson City. The Lord's good, isn't he? And the Lord, it scared me to death, and that lady wanted me to pray for her, but the Lord heard and answered prayer and gave her a child. And you know, talking about hearing and answering prayer, think about big days. Oh, this has been 10 or 15 years ago. We were having a big day, and I went over, got down below the Boone Dam, and I was on my knees and praying for the big day and praying the Lord to help us and give us souls and for his blessing on the big day. And all of a sudden, I saw raindrops start falling. And you know, 19 drops of rain keeps 20 Baptists at home, but you heard me say many times. And I said, Lord, one time a man asked you to hold the rain off for 3.5 years, and you did. And I said, Lord, would you just stop that rain till after Sunday school starts this morning? And you know what? I looked out there, and the rain quit. And you say, Preacher, that's just an accident. Well, let me believe God heard and answered prayer. It might have been an accident, but I still believe God and heard. Had a great day and get behind this special day that's coming up. When is it, Bertha Gary? Next Sunday. You ought to get out and work. Knock on doors. Things going to be, listen, this is a great opportunity you have. You ought to get out there. Say amen right there, Brother Gary. But you know, the reason the Lord laid this on my heart, I want you, folks, we all the needs we have as we go down through life, and God's able to help us. The Lord God of Elijah can help us as we go down through life. And Elijah's God can still provide for our needs. And God still, today, hears and answers prayer. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Then we will need Elijah's God when it comes time to cross over the Jordan. And that's the payoff. You know, the old time religion is not only good enough to live by, but I'm glad it's good enough to die by, aren't you? And just as God did not fail Elijah at the Jordan River, this same God will not fail us when we stand at death's chilly Jordan. He sent a chariot of fire to take Elijah, and he's going to send a convoy of angels to take us to glory. Isn't that wonderful? When I come to the river at ending of day, and the day is going to end for us all sooner or later, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I'm not a singer, you ought to find out, but I don't care, I'm enjoying my singing anyway. Now, I don't know if I can make that note or not, but he might have had to help me out. I'm have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the morning I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. You might, not like my singing, but I do. Nobody asked me to sing. Since I'm up here, I just thought I'd sing. No, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to know the Lord. I've gone down to the river, I thought, two or three times that I might have to cross over. You know what? It scared me when I thought I might have to cross over, but when I got to talking to the Lord, and he gave me peace, and I thought, well, if I'm in his hands, and if I close my eyes here, I might wake up and see Jesus. You know, that's the hope we have, folks, as Christians. Well, I don't know when you've got plenty of time. We got an extra hour tonight. But Gary, I'd been up 2 hours when you emailed them. That's okay. I went to bed early last night, though. But where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I'm ready to come in for a landing now. So just hold on just a few minutes. And it's a vital question. It's a prayerful question. And it's also an answerable question. The Lord God of Elijah is not dead. He's not even sleeping, not on a vacation, not on a journey. He's alive forevermore. I'm glad to report tonight. Now I'm going to leave some of my sermon out here. I've already seen I'm going to leave some. Let me go on over here. A few years ago, I walked through the streets of Decatur, Georgia, near Atlanta, the night before I was supposed to preach at Forest Hills Baptist Church. I walked through around the church there and where I was staying and around in the community, just saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I wanted, in that great church, as I was going to preach on Wednesday night, I wanted the Lord's help. And I said, Lord, I want your power in my life, not for fame, not for selfish reasons, but I want your power so I can glorify your precious name. And that's all I want. That's when I've come here tonight. I just want the Lord to be glorified. I want to lift him high. And then I preached that night, and the Lord blessed, and some people came, and I'll never forget, an Oriental lady came and got saved that night. And so the Lord God of Elijah was with me. Now your soul may be crying out tonight, where is the Lord God of Elijah in my life? Where can I find him? I need him desperately. Maybe there's some here tonight, you desperately need the Lord's help. And I hope the Holy Spirit will convict you of that. Where can I find him? I need him desperately. I want his power on my life. And folks, we ought to, more than anything else in this world, we ought to want two things. First of all, the presence of the Lord in our lives and his power in our lives. Those are two things we so desperately need. And listen, Christian, you will find the power of the Lord God of Elijah, listen to me closely now, at the place of full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find the power of God right there. You know my story, and I've told it many times in this pulpit. I fought the call to preach for 4 long years because I was shy and timid. But one night after 4 years in the dormitory at Southern Mississippi, at Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I woke up at midnight, and the call of God was on my heart, and I knew I was going to have to deal with it. And so I got up and went out on the college golf course and got down on that golf course, and I said, Lord, the best I know how, I feel like you're calling me to preach. And Lord, if I make the, and I was scared to death to get up in front of a crowd. I understand some you have the same problem. But I said, Lord, I'm going to preach if I make the worst flop that's ever got behind a pulpit. And you know what? It all started 61 years ago when I got on my knees and fully surrendered to the Lord God of Elijah. And that's where you'll come to know his power, when you come to a place of full surrender. Let me ask you this question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah in your life? Is the Lord God of Elijah answering your prayers? Is the Lord God of Elijah real to you tonight? Is his power on your life? On your bus ministry? Do you know the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your bus route? In your Sunday school? In your Sunday school class, you need the power of the Lord God of Elijah. And on your service for him, we need the power of the Lord God of Elijah. Each one of us here tonight ought to say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'd rather die as to live without the power of God on my life. I'd rather not never get another pulpit. I just come back from Brazil, and God blessed mightily down there. And he used me one more time down in Brazil. And tonight, this is what the Lord wanted on your heart. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Ask God, not only ask him, beg God for the power of the Lord God of Elijah on your life tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I trust tonight that someone here will say, Preacher, I want the power of God on my life. I'd rather die as to live without the power of God on my life. Folks, we need the power and presence of God. And I trust that you'll come to this altar in a few minutes and on your knees before the Lord, ask him for the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord God of Elijah in your life. Maybe you say, Preacher, I need a new touch. Maybe you need to come to this altar and need a new touch from God tonight. Let's let the Lord have his way. Maybe if you're not saved, you ought to come down here and say, Preacher, I want to know what it is to be a born-again child of God. I want to know that I'm saved. You come tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here tonight. And Lord, I have tried to preach what you laid on my heart. Lord, we need your power and your presence in our lives. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd put a hunger by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of many here tonight for the power of the Lord God of Elijah on their lives. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing just with heads bowed and eyes, all to Jesus, I surrender. There's already people coming. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, you want the power of the Lord God of Elijah in your life. If he's spoken to you, just come down and kneel tonight. Maybe you say, Preacher, I want God's blessing on my bus ride, my Sunday school class. Or maybe you have a friend that's lost and you need the power of God in your life to win them to Christ. Let's just sing it all to Jesus. And others of you, if God's speaking to your heart, come on right now.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Sing one more verse.
way. Again, thank you, preacher, for stirring our hearts again. What a wonderful message. Often preachers have a message, you know, and this is your message, I think. You know, payday someday, all those great messages. Where is the God of Elijah? What a great thought. I hope it stirs your heart this week as you serve the Lord, that God would have his hand upon you, that God would be real, and you'd know his presence, you'd see his power. That's my heart's desire. And if we'll do what Preacher Lashley said and surrender to God, we can see it. It may mean stepping out by faith and doing something. You probably won't see it if you're just seated in the pew. When you get out and do something for God and you surrender, then you see God work in your heart and life. So let's ask the Lord this week to just have his hand upon us as we serve him. Let's be faithful doing the work of the Lord. The England meeting has been moved to downstairs right after the service, and so we'll pray and be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for the stirring message tonight as we've been reminded of your great power. And Lord, how we long to know your presence. We know that you are with us. We long to experience it, Lord, and to feel a touch from heaven. We long to see your power in answering prayer in our lives, in strengthening us and giving us grace in time of need, in guiding us and giving us direction, Lord, when we don't know what to do. Lord, may we see you empower us and help us throughout this week. May your power be evident. We want to know the God of Elijah. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday and today and forever, and that your power is available to us today. And I pray that you'd help us to seek it with all of our heart and seek you with all of our heart, that we might know a touch from heaven, the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Lord bless you.